Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bishop Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve and slide into the rabbit hole of BS. BS in whatever term you want to define it. I like to, in a sweet way, talk about it as bait and switch. You can put it any way you want. But the point is, we ought not be about anything less than love in our life. And when love isn't our priority, when love fails to call us upward out of normal human behaviors, well, then we do the bait and switch game, don't we? We manipulate, we try to control, we try to get people to do what we think they ought to do for us rather than simply loving one another, so that out of love, we are living some unselfish life and moving ahead in this world and not staying in some kind of stationary bog of less than love. Love alone is credible, Hans Urs von Balthasar said. I believe that with all my heart and life. Somebody else said, the theologians know theology, but it's children that know love, and it's the lovers that understand God. We need to turn our attention toward children and lovers, and let life be directed by love alone. Love alone is credible. So, every week here, we have a few regular practices, and one of the first practices we do here on the No BS Bishop is I offer to you Love's Creed, something that I've written some years ago, and I'd be happy to send it to you in written form if you send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail. Not looking for anything. I'm not going to put you on some kind of long mailing list. I promise I'm not going to bug you, but if you want a copy of Love's Creed, I'd be happy to send it. So I'll give it to you first in total. I'll come back, and then I'll offer it to you like I would a bride and groom at a marriage altar as vows and short bursts, okay? Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. So there it is in total. Let me share it with you as in a moment by moment, repeat after me, segmentation of it like I would at a marriage altar. You ready? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. Those words are profound. I know. I'm patting myself on my own back here because I wrote them, but they're profound because they lay a grid. They lay a filter for how I view the wide world around me, how I choose to interpret the world about me. I want to make sure I say it one more time for emphasis. I am not perfect at love. I know it worse. I mean, I am as much a failure at love as anybody, but I choose to believe that while I fail occasionally, I am not a total failure in my pursuit of love. What I learned from my failures is what makes me move toward being alive to love, so that I can breathe and eat and sleep to regain energy, to love, not cause pain, to have plans and dreams and designs that are locked into and anything and everything that is love. That's my pilgrimage. I say it that way here because I want you to know that when we run toward love, we might stumble. When we reach for love, we might not be able to grasp it at any given moment. But the purpose of life is to love well. And when we have loved well in this life, we have lived well. When we have loved well, we have lived well. And I want to make sure you hear me say, there is no such thing as a failure in any human endeavor until we decide to quit. I have chosen, I will not quit in my reach for love. I'm worried sometimes about myself. I have been. I've changed. I'm changing that. And I'm worried about others who we mistakenly consider ourselves as experts and masters of life, love, theology, and, you know, other things. We tend, if we're sloppy, to consider ourselves masters of life, love, philosophy, theology, even medical science. Oh my goodness, don't start me. But we need to be people all the days of our life who are learning, giving ourselves to some path of education. That's what keeps, you know, Dick Van Dyke was one of my childhood heroes, actors, comedians. I love that guy. He's just, to me, was a natural comedian. I saw an interview with him the other day where he was asked, how did he keep himself well for so long? He said, I got one philosophy in life. And he said, that is keep moving. Just keep moving. And the same is true for our minds, folks. Just keep it moving. Keep it out. Beware of that static, stationary mindset that refuses to grow, because that's a sure dead end right there. So I'm alive to love, and I'm here to be alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked in anything and everything that is love, and I refuse to get static and stationary. You see, I'm teaching and believing and sharing with you here week in and week out that love is, while it is natural, it does not naturally grow. It is a natural thing. Ask any mama who's had a baby for the first time. That little baby loves mama right away. Now, that baby isn't saying, you know, from day one, hey, mom, I love you. No, that's not how babies behave. But when that baby cries, they're saying, mom, I need you and I love you because I need you. And then when that baby gets comfortable and secure in mama's arms, then that baby is cooing and looking up at that beautiful face that baby doesn't know how to say mama. That baby doesn't know how to say anything, but there's something comforted and secure in that baby's voice when they coo and they just stare back at mama's face. That's love, ladies and gentlemen. It's at its most rudimentary position in life from that baby's point of view. Now, love is as natural as that, but love requires discipline, concentration, patience, faith, and overcoming narcissism. Let me go through that list again. Love will require of us all the days of our life. Discipline. What is discipline? It means to mark myself as growing and thinking and learning. Discipline means that I'm going to exercise my love muscle, my love mindedness. It's going to require discipline. It will require concentration. You know, to concentrate is to remain aimed. To concentrate means that I am focusing how to stand, how to breathe, how to maintain my mindset in the middle of other distractions. To concentrate. To be a lover is somebody who's concentrating. So I'm that at the end of the every broadcast here, No BS Bishop, I always lead you in the activity of saying, I love you. Say it to somebody with focused concentration, with eye contact, and slowing the words down so it's not rapid fire and said in a way that is, you know, it's, oh, man, I got to get through this really quick because I'm uncomfortable. No, it's saying it because I'm uncomfortable, saying it slowly so that I can maintain and gain comfort with the most powerful human decision and emotion there is. We require patience when we're loving, right? Oh, yeah, I know it's a bad word, but it's a good practice. Patience to sustain in our thinking, slowing down life. It's going to require faith. It's going to require knowing that love is at its source and at its most powerful expression when we understand that love is God and God is love. And that makes me a candidate for faith when I understand that God is love and love is God, and he who dwells in love dwells in God. Well, now I'm in faith territory. That's from the little epistle of 1 John and the chapter 4. Now, this last phrase of love requiring discipline, concentration, patience, faith, and this last phrase, overcoming narcissism. I don't want to get into all of the philosophical background of it, but narcissism is, in essence, the way we live as a person of, a society, no matter who you are. I don't care how far off the grid you've moved, you're still part of the society at some level. You still are going to have some help from somebody somewhere. Society is still around you, even if you've moved 100 miles away. But the narcissist has this notion that all the world is about them. All of their bad feelings are somebody else's fault. All of their sensibility is that the world owes me their full attention, and the world owes me all of the advantages that I deserve because I'm here and you should be serving me. The narcissist is focused on one human out of the 7 billion on the planet, and that one human they're focused on is the one person they're looking at in the mirror. Now, they could take that same posture of looking in the mirror, turn it around, and realize, wait a minute, the one person that I ought to be about correcting and seeing to it that they're behaving well is that person in the mirror. I've got no business correcting anybody else. I got to keep myself right. So love, while it is natural, as a child is born with love, it requires discipline, concentration, patience, faith, and overcoming narcissism. Getting past the idea that the whole wide world owes us a life and a living, that the whole wide world is somehow here to serve me. All 6.9 billion of the others are now here to serve me. Well, that's narcissism in a very simplistic form. I do not believe for one second that there is a failure in the attempt to love. I don't believe that when we have reached for love and we have seemingly failed, that that is permanent and that it somehow or another makes us a permanently failed or flawed person. There's no such thing as failure when we have tried. The only failure there is in any endeavor of the human existence is to quit. To quit the attempt to love, now that's failure. And there is no way out of that failure except, are you ready for this? Except try again. Try again. Make sure that you haven't committed the only way to fail, and that is to quit. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain because I'm alive with plans, dreams, designs that are locked into anything and everything that is love. So when it comes down to this this decision and this discipline, I want to give you a real quick synopsis. And we've talked about these things a few times before, but I want to give a quick review of them because I brought up the point of it being a discipline and a concentration. And that is, number one, using the power of our words and our conversations in the direction of love, knowing how to finish our compliments and our complaints, our comments and our grumpiness, our frustrations, no matter what they are, end it with an aim and a decision to love. decide that everything we see can be seen through the lens of love. Now, that's using the power of our words and conversations in the direction of love. There, I want you to hear how potentially flawed all of that is, because I know we are all at once in any given conversation, we're going to be given to complaints, our grumpiness, our comments, our frustrations, our pleasures, whatever else it is in our conversations. But if we end it in some form of being aimed at love, well, now there's a point of reference that I can take even my frustration and bring it to love. So that's one thing. Number two, make a commitment to the notion that this is a lifetime pursuit and a discovery of God's love and the potential of your love. Know how to change your view of love being static or simplistic. Change that to a lifetime discovery that all of your life is going to have seasons where love will grow, where love can be sustained in other ways than what maybe you've been used to, where you can create a love path as you charge forward in life, or as you just kind of skip along in life. You don't have to charge through everything, but you can keep moving in the direction of love. Another thing I want to challenge you to do is expect love. Now, this is tricky. It's tricky because if we have this idea of, like I said earlier about the narcissist, if we have this idea that everybody owes me love, well, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And if we have the idea that somehow or another, everything that comes my way in the form of love should be perfect, we need to remember everything that comes from us in love isn't perfect. So what's coming to us from other fellow journey men and women, that's going to be imperfect. That's going to be slightly flawed one way or the other. Love is this skill that we spend our life learning. And to that end, we can expect love if we're looking for it. And by looking for it, I don't mean waiting for perfect love. I mean waiting and seeing that somebody's trying. When you see love in some form that is flawed, remember, your own love has been flawed. When you see somebody attempting to be close to you as a friend or a neighbor, and it's not it's not adequate yet, just remember, that's you. But we can expect love. And I believe what you expect is what you get. I believe when we expect pain, well, we're going to get pain. When we expect misery, when we expect being insulted, well, that's what's going to happen. When we expect, you get up in the morning and say, yeah, I just know how this is going to go. Today's going to be a terrible day. People are going to be critical of me, and I'm going to be unfairly and unjustly criticized, and people are going to be fussy with me. Well, I guess if that's what you expect, that's what you're going to get. But if you expect love, you're going to find love. And know this, and I'm going to wrap this up here. Just know and accept the possibility that every level of your life, you're going to find your love challenged. It's going to be occasionally rejected. It's going to go unnoticed. Your love will be unnoticed. It may be misunderstood. And it's not always going to work in short-term projects. And love could cause you harm. We just need to reject the notion of uninjured love. There's no such thing, because love by and of itself is vulnerable. Love puts itself out there in a vulnerable kind of way that it creates the possibility it could get stepped on, might be ignored, might be unnoticed. But that's the risk of love, and it's the well-oiled machine of love. That's how love functions. That's how the cylinders fire in love, is through vulnerability and being aware of the possibility of our love being unnoticed. All right. Well, I'm down to the final few moments here, and I want to challenge you to join me in a couple of practices here. And I do want you to understand that I know that there's a whole wide world of resource and reference material in this world, and I'm somebody who likes to take advantage of those resource materials, and I like to take advantage of those things that teach me things. But I also know this: I know that when we have the opportunity to do simple things, we're going to learn more than we'd ever learn if we read the whole Encyclopedia Britannica. And there are two simple things I want to challenge you to do with me. And the first thing is, you ready for this? Breathe. Just breathe. And breathe as well as you know how. Breathe just breathe as simple as you know how. Remember when you were a kid and you were running and all of a sudden you felt that little stitch in your side and you wondered, oh my gosh, did I break my breather? I want to promise you that was your little body learning how to exercise. Your little body was learning how to breathe deep when you were running. So now that we're aged, matured, we've grown better with time, I hope. It's still important to learn that we've got to keep practicing breathing. Like Dick Van Dyke said about aging, well, you got to just keep moving. Even if it's simple movement, keep moving. We got to keep breathing. The most basic human exercise is to breathe. So on the count of three, I want you to breathe as deep as you know how. Draw in a breath and say these words, thank you, and exhale, thank you. Inhale gratitude, exhale gratitude, all right? And the thank you inhale is the thank you from God for being his child, all right? On the count of three, breathe in the words thank you as deep as you can. Are you ready? One, two, three, thank you. Hold that breath and exhale. Thank you. It's kind of hard to talk when you're inhaling, isn't it? But we can learn new tricks. We can do two things at once. I can walk and chew gum. Watch me. All right. So breathing is living, and breathing is loving yourself. It's slowing down your mental pace, slowing down your physical pace, slowing down your anxieties, and bringing them to the simplicity of breath. Now, the second thing we do here every week on the No BS Bishop is to find somebody nearby. You know, now, my wife is on a journey to be with her mother in Texas. Her 90-year-old mother has called for her to be at her side, and I gladly, willingly, and lovingly enjoy the fact that those two can be partners in helping one another over these last few weeks. And so I know the reason I bring that up is by being alone, it's when I say, look somebody in the eyes and say, I love you, well, I'm left with my little dog, Dixie. But you know what? That little dog has learned to look back at me when I say, I love you. And that silent little face looks back at me with those big brown eyes, and there's a settledness in her. She knows what I'm doing. She knows what my master's doing. Is he's somehow or another practicing something he does every week, and I'll just be here to receive whatever that is, and whatever that is, it feels good. So I'm looking at my dog and saying, I love you. So even if it's your dog or if it's your cat or maybe it's a bowl of goldfish, I'm just asking you, slow your life down enough and slow the three most charmed and magical words in the human language down. Slow them down. Not, I love you, but say, I love you with eye contact. It's weird. It's awkward. It's a little nerve-wracking for some of us, and it has been for me at times, but now that I've practiced it for years, it's so much more natural to me, and I do need to get myself secured by saying that routinely, all right? Now, I want you to hear me through the radio or the computer or your phone device or whatever else you're listening to me through. I want you to hear me say it without having full eye contact with you. I want you to know that there's one person out here in this big, wide world of, 7 or 8 billion? There's a lot of us. Out of all these billions of people, there's one person looking at you right now. And I'm saying, whoever you are, I love you. Now, drink in the significance of that. Drink in the notion that that brings something into your life that nothing else could bring, and that is the power of love. That I am no longer just living my life in a willy-nilly, cotton candy, easy-peasy kind of view of love, but I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to focus on a plan for love. I'm going to make my love something that isn't just happening by chance. No, my love is happening on purpose. Now go out there, find some people, tell them you love them, and go out and do something beautiful in this world, because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for loving people to go out there and do something beautiful in this world and arise and shine. God is love and love is God. He who dwells in love, she who dwells in love, dwells in God. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.